way later on. We can move on to the next.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. So the next session is to talk about one of the better communications projects that Rachel mentioned, which is the Principles of Disclosure project. So this is an extremely good example of a project where the effect of digital reporting and technology is extremely relevant, and it's really the feedback we've had in that regard that we wanted to seek your advice on today. We thought that before I hand over to my colleague Aisha to summarise that feedback that is specific to technology and digital reporting and the questions we'd like to discuss, it would be worth just taking a couple of minutes to summarise the purpose of the project and what the board is aiming to do, just to give context to that discussion. So on slides 4 to 8 of the slide pack, we've got some information about project background. Now, with any of our projects, a key thing for us to be aware of all the time is what exactly is the problem that we are trying to help solve. So slide 4 summarises that with regard to the Principles of Disclosure project. And essentially, we are trying to address the fact that we've heard a lot of feedback that the disclosures in financial statements are perhaps not as effective as they might be today. So that problem we see as having three real components. Firstly, the fact that the relevant information, i.e. the stuff that users want to see, is not always there in its entirety, i.e. a lack of relevant information. Second, too much irrelevant information that potentially clouds or obscures that information that users are looking for. And thirdly, ineffective communication of the information that is disclosed. So in trying to address that problem, the disclosure initiative and the principles of disclosure is looking at two real things: ways in which the board can help prepare us to apply better judgment about what to disclose and how to most effectively disclose it. And secondly, ways in which the board can improve the way in which they themselves develop and draft disclosure requirements, with the thinking that the more effective those requirements are, the more effectively preparers will be able to use them to communicate useful information. So with that project aim in mind, slides 5 and 6 summarise a bit of background about what has been going on in the project so far. I won't talk through that in detail, but just to note that approximately a year ago, the board published a discussion paper summarising many different things that the board might do to help solve this problem, and we've spent many months gathering as much feedback we can about what stakeholders think would be the best approach. Slide 7 then summarises the current position in terms of the four frontal activities that the board is now looking at. So firstly, the board has recently added a project to its agenda that is referred to as a targeted standards level of review of disclosure that essentially involves two main things at the moment. Firstly, we are looking into developing some guidance for the board to pin down how we can develop better requirements in future. So that involves numerous things. Firstly, the board are considering how they can improve the process. So that involves things like how we liaise with external stakeholders to find out what information is most useful, the cost limits of different disclosure requirements. It also involves things like how we best integrate and work with the IFRS taxonomy during the process of developing disclosure requirements in our standards. The second part of that standards level review project is that we are identifying one or two known problematic standards in a disclosure sense to apply that guidance for the board to, with a view to making the guidance as effective as possible, making the board's development process and drafting process as effective as possible, and with a view to potentially improving the requirements in those standards themselves. And we see that as something as an iterative process for improving the way that disclosure requirements are developed in the long term. On the left-hand side of slide 7, we've noted a couple of specific areas where the board are still considering whether and how to move forward. On location of information, that's really about whether the board should develop any guidance or requirements about companies disclosing IFRS information outside the financial statements, and then the reverse of that, whether we should consider non-IFRS information in the financial statements. And the reasons the board might look into that is because there is potential benefit in giving companies some freedom about where to disclose information that might help them to more effectively communicate, for example, by keeping like disclosures together. Which accounting policies to disclose is another area where the board are considering developing some particular guidance, and that is an area that investors have told us they think there is real potential for improvement in financial statements today. Across all of these activities within this project, there is, of course, the fact that the potential effect of technology and digital reporting is quite key in terms of how users are digesting the information that is disclosed in financial statements. So with that in mind, I'm going to hand over to Aisha, who will summarise the feedback we've had specific to technology within the context of the project.
Thanks, Catherine. So on slide 10, that gives you the summary of those feedback messages that we got from respondents to the discussion paper. And the overwhelming message that we got was really that most respondents thought that the discussion paper was based on an assumption that users will consume information in a paper-based format, and the board ought to be thinking about better communication in the context of digital reporting, as we've mentioned earlier. But there were two views, you know, typically expressed by respondents in regards to how exactly the board could undertake this consideration. So there are some respondents that thought that the topics in the discussion paper are still relevant because paper-based reporting or means of communication will continue to be relevant, and the board should just consider disclosure issues around better around technology and digital reporting in addition to those. However, there are other respondents that thought that the board should only focus on those specific disclosure issues, whatever they might be, that are more relevant for the digital reporting environment. We've also heard from a few other respondents that told us that it is unclear right now how technology would advance in the future, and that the board's concentration should solely be on how information is being communicated and digested by users of financial statements today. Slide 11 also summarizes like a key message that we've also heard, that while investors currently consider PDF actually as a form of digital reporting today, there are many stakeholders that expect technology to change the way companies communicate with users of financial statements, and consequently the forms of technology that users would use to consume that information. However, you know, this conversation is usually surround and bring about a question mark on exactly what that technology is going to look like. So our first question for you on slide 13 is surrounding these facts and trying to seek your views on how you expect or see users of financial statements will consume financial information in the future, and if you could provide us specific examples of what that might look like. And I'm just going to run through the rest of the questions and give you the chance to answer to all of them together. So on slide 12, when we kind of take together all the feedback that we received in technology, it really boils down the board's consideration in two factors. The first, considering whether traditional financial statement will continue to be relevant, and consequently some of the topics that are contemplated in the discussion paper are still appropriate for the board to continue to consider, or whether there are any additional disclosure issues from the technology and digital reporting that the board ought to be considering as part of the project. And, you know, that twofold consideration is really the basis for questions 2 and 3 on slide 13. And specifically, if, you know, there are additional disclosure issues for technology and digital reporting, if that changes the nature of what we know today as the disclosure problem, as Catherine had initially explained. And the last but not the least question that we have on this slide is specifically regarding that idea of how can we use the IFRS taxonomy as a way to improve the effectiveness of disclosures in the financial statements. So we'd welcome your thoughts on how, you know, the board should be considering that within the realms of the Principles of Disclosure project. So with that, I'll turn it over to you for your advice and comments on these questions.
See, you have a comment on
it is 2 hours. But now is the time to answering this question, page 13.
Yes.
Okay. So this is a question to me. I think that maybe who is users of the financial statement. That is most important you have to thinking about. Some investors maybe answered they prefer PD, but there are many other people also working on this capital market. And those investors sometimes doesn't aware they are using a database. So that I think one of the most the biggest changing the technology is speed to consuming data. So that in this era, the people doesn't aware, investor doesn't aware that what's happening really happening on the market. Before the people reading financial statement carefully, but now before they finish to read all of them, the data is they distributed in the market and the people pick up those data. So maybe you'd better to ask to the many types of the other type of the investors, or not only the people who are reading PDFs. So what kind of changes will happen is the people taking data and understanding data so quickly, so that the financial statement should be more clear and structured, because people might mistake if the financial statement still have so much complicated structures, and the people needed to have a knowledge to understand it. This is something I really feel that can do.
Thank you, G. So in terms of the questions there, I guess that goes more to their question one.
Oh, this is question one, and also
just generally how it could be used. And
The one thing, is the answer of the question one is because I'm asking the specific example, so there is different types of investors.
Your response was to that question one. I just wanted to make sure that the staff could tie in.
And Mike, you had. So that some people still reading PDF, but those people doesn't aware that what's happening around them. So that the people reading, and when those kind of investors finish to read all the financial statement, but the other people, the other guys already take actions, taking data. So that something happened. The market, capital market, changing every day. So that ISB should ask to the other type of the investor too. And so that IFRS financial statement, so the developing technologies, IFRS financial statement should be more clear structured, because people might have a mistake.
Okay.
Can I just try and summarize what you said? You understood it correctly, because I think there's a really interesting point there for us. I think what you're saying is that with reference to the question of the relevance of paper-based financial statements, there are some investors that are still reading a PDF or in book format, but they are potentially digesting the information slower, because that is a slower method of digesting it than those that are getting the information that they want digitally. And one of the reasons why it's key for us to make sure we're addressing all of those needs is so that that difference in almost the ability to use the information.
I'm trying to answer your question. There are several types of users. Some people don't need to talk to the detailed information, but those people take action more faster than other people, other investors. So those people changing price, stock price. So that's quite a dangerous situation. So whether we like or not, the already users taking data from the PDF, it sometimes have so much mistake, because PDF is sometimes the deliver the data a different way. So that we need more different technologies that can deliver the information more correctly.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Sure. I've got a question, and then I can answer these very quickly. The investors that responded to the survey, they gave you the summary you provided us. So the folks that use Edgar, 90% of them, over 90% of them, are machines. Less than 10% are actually humans. So I'm curious how we interviewed the machines to understand what they're using. Okay.
We didn't have any discussions with machines. We couldn't work out a way to do it. So in terms of the feedback we've described, just for the avoidance of doubt, we got feedback from a whole range of stakeholders. So the feedback we had on technology includes from the accounting firms, the preparers, from all manner of people. In terms of investors, it was a broad range, both in terms of types of investor and geography, but the messages we were getting were very much along the lines of the board need to think about this and factor it in, rather than what we didn't get from the comment letters as a whole and the discussions we had as a whole was a clear message about this is how we expect technology to move forward and the way the project should be focused. So it's that kind of question that we're trying to research at the moment.
I think that there is an inherent bias of like what I know versus what I don't know. And in the machine idea, PDF is simply one of the options. Right, I don't have to prepare it in PDF. In fact, if I prepare it in PDF, then I'm stuck with that as a consumer. If I prepare it in a structured format, I have a whole range of consuming options. So the number of options is actually enhanced by standardization, not decreased. So here's my answers. Number one, RSS, web services, API, inline XBRL, those kinds of things where you get both. Number two, no, absolutely no, hell no. Yeah, 3A, yes. 3B, assurance. Assurance, typically not relevant to electronic documents. Definitions and relevance, that's the feedback loop that I pointed out to Rachel earlier. And I think that's a key idea for, in the grocery store, we see it clearly with barcodes. Okay. And then number four, the feedback is relevant. And then the consistency across domains, the IFAC paper that just came out seems to me to be a club, meaning a stick for the ISB to use around the world to drive IFRS taxonomy adoption.
Good. Was that it, Mike?
Yep.
Yeah. Any follow-up from this?
Nothing was clear.
I think Lewis was, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So on the first question, some of this has already been stated, but, users are already consuming this data in an electronic format. They're not going down the PDF path. And we know that the portfolio managers are consuming this directly into earnings models. And that's one of the dominant approaches we'll see in the future, is being able to just machine to machine. I've been saying for a while we need to eliminate this analog component in the middle. We've got machine to analog to machine. The consumer needs this simply to machine, so we eliminate this rekeying, which you mentioned, G, which creates all sorts of errors and inefficiencies. On the second question, do you think traditional financial statements will continue to have a useful role? This is kind of like currency. I still have some change in my pocket. And as a standard setter, part of our problem is that while we want to move to electronic currency for purchases and payment, invariably, we still need some of the old paper-based monies to pay for things. So the standard setters have this particular challenge that they really need to serve both sides. I know from a FASB's perspective, that's a consistent issue that's raised, is that while on the one hand, we know that many users and preparers are very focused on the electronic preparation and consumption, we have a large part of the market that's not there yet. And so from a standard setter's perspective, it's really hard to just speak to one. On the other hand, there's no reason you can't speak to both by being neutral in how you bring your standards forward. And from a taxonomy modeling perspective, do you think the greater use of technology and digital reporting will change the nature of the disclosure? Will technology allow investors to process an unlimited amount of information? I think the technology is going to redefine what we think of as material, because it lowers the bar for information or access to information, much in the same way that new technologies changed how we thought about sampling. And so investors are going to expect much, much more information than they're getting today because they can handle it, and they're going to want it at a more granular level. Are there any specific disclosure issues related to technology and digital reporting?
how detailed do you tag? And what does the complexity of the modeling look like? That it was mentioned, someone had mentioned that, you know, when we get into some of these really detailed disclosures, the tagging for that, the modeling for that, is can be quite complex, at least for how we know how to do it today. And that creates complexities for the taxonomists, and it creates complexities for the users of the data. And frankly, we don't fully know how much of that the user is actually wanting in that format. We've still got quite a bit to learn there, and our engagement with the users is important. And the last point on this is that preparers really need to think. This has been one of the hardest pieces of this for us in working with preparers, is getting them to think differently about how they're communicating. Because they're used to thinking about a piece of paper and the words and the numbers they put on the piece of paper, and now we're asking them to think more deeply into that and understand that the underlying structure that is going to be used for a machine is very, very different than what you're seeing on the face of that statement or the disclosure. And that is an expectation that has not been met yet. And then on the final piece, the final question, I think this has been largely addressed. So I'll just, you know, from my perspective, it makes for a much more efficient and effective process. It'll enhance comparability and consistency, and it should improve access to information.
Yeah. Okay.
And
over here.
Yeah. So.
I will answer these questions generally, so I won't be addressing each of them, but maybe you can find the answers for each of them. Yeah. So we think that you know, we agree with the previous speakers that currently, because we are living in an era of internet plus artificial intelligence, blockchain, and So we think that currently the consumers of financial reports can be classified into two different categories, machines and human beings. So, and I do agree with Luis that currently we cannot abandon any of the users, any types of the users. So we have to provide two different types of financial reports, the structured for both human beings and machines, and the traditional ones for maybe, I say maybe humans. I will touch this go detail later. So I think from the standard perspective, I think we need to provide, we need to fulfill the requirement of both types of users. So one is, first, I think in terms of structured or non-structured, we think that we should either provide structured data for computer processing, and also we need to provide non-structured data for human beings reading. However, actually, I think non-structured data currently is not just for human beings.
Yes.
Because the development of artificial intelligence. So several days ago, I discussed with a manager from an IT company, and so what one of the products they are currently developing is something that can apply a semantic analysis to consume PDF or Word. So they have some kind of a network crawler to download any types of reports from the internet, no matter it's PDF, Word, or Excel, or whatever. So their program can actually understand the report. But of course, there's some kind of limitation of the ability of the application, because currently they can only analyze the primary statements, but we can expect them because, you know, the development of AI is very, very fast. So the machines can do self-learning in the future, right? So we can expect that somewhere in the future. So the machines can not only do analysis on the primary statements, but also all the notes. Not all the notes, but bit by bit, I think. So in the future, so maybe. So I think this answers part of the question three. So what? So maybe some technology can change the nature of the disclosure problem, because currently we are facing the problem of structure or non-structure, but with the development of AI, so maybe structure and non-structure would no longer be a problem. Maybe in 10 years, 10, 20 years, who knows? Right. So that's one, structure or non-structure. And the second, so in terms of granularity, so of course we should also take into consideration of taking account of both human beings' requirement and machines' requirement. So we should both provide, you know, we should take into account of the limitation of the ability of human beings' data processing, right? So in the financial statements, we should outline the most relevant information. That's for human being consumers. And on the other hand, so we should also consider the characteristic of computer processing and encourage more and more detailed information to be provided in the financial report. Of course, this information should be organized in a reasonable and systematic way to fulfill the potential requirements, because usually speaking, so we just consider most of the users' requirements, right? The requirements in the standard. Usually take consideration of most users' requirement, but in the future, when it is possible, when it doesn't increase too much cost to the preparers and the consumers, so we need to provide some information that is would be that satisfies the unique requirement of just a part of the consumers, maybe in the future. So this is the thing that a computer can do. Yeah. So we would suggest that so in the principle of disclosure project, so maybe different requirements for both traditional format of financial report and the structured format of report should be provided by the standards or whatever separately. That's our I think that's our primary suggestion for the board. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. So we're just getting close to the time we had set aside for this here, and there's quite a few questions out there. Generally, what I think I'm seeing as a quick summary is we seem to focus very much on where we're heading with it, so machine side of the equation, and you know, thinking more in terms of not just the structured approach, but unstructured as well. That seems to be the general direction of feedback that we're getting in different ways. So as we go, if there's anyone else that's got something that's net new that we can add to that, then we could probably drop into that side of it because we're tight on time. Ashok, I think you were up next.
So
I'm assuming it's going to be new because we're tight.
I will take probably no more than 10 seconds of only three questions I want to answer. Number two, the PDF is a matter of time, and probably people will migrate from legacy to the so-called new age or new technology. I give my own example. I was very trained in Lotus 1-2-3 and WordPerfect and Dbase 3. It took me a while to migrate to Excel and that sort of thing. And that's exactly what will happen in case of PDF. It's very easy, portable thing. And what really interesting thing to know, in ISMA study, one of the big company, conglomerate, I won't even name, and they gave feedback that they are comfortable with PDF, but not XBRL. And then the next set of question is that, can you do search? And he says, yes, we can do search on PDF. Well, maybe limitation of my knowledge, but only search I can do in PDF is just Control F. But still, people would be saying these things that, yep, PDF. The third question, and is very important one, technology will allow investors to process unlimited amount. Imagine, once iXBRL works, I can actually, on my cell phone, without doing anything at all, without any proprietary, I can see what is my cache versus somebody else's cache, definition and all kind of thing. I can see the tag. I can see virtually all attributes. So isn't it amazing thing rather than PDF, and then you will be still searching, you don't have any answer? And the last one, two things will probably drive, and I really urge regulators of the world, they have to make some sort of decision now. Improvement of quality of the data. So this custom tag and that sort of thing, they should really give kind of the limitations that it should not be allowed. Default is also for the standard setter that you have to have comprehensive, no gaps of the tag. And then life will become so simpler and really beautiful in world of XBRL. So as a regulator, they have to enforce number of tag, and even SEC, when we started, the US cap, 49%, and it's now roughly about hovering over 19% custom tag. Beautiful. And the same thing should happen with, the IFRS thing. I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Maybe Anna?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, Anna. good morning, everyone. I'll be quick, just a few comments on the questions that have been asked, so which I hope will bring some new elements. So at some of the feedback we heard during the events we ESMA participated into on the relevance of financial information, how it's currently being consumed, was from analysts and professional investors who are saying that not only information is being consumed differently, but that they're using less and less financial information for their investment decisions. So one thing that we found striking in terms of from their feedback was that some of them said that as little as 15% of the information they use comes from financial information. They're using more or less information coming from other sources. For example, big data information, how many people walk into a shop per day, how many people visit a website or click on a marketing ad. And I don't know how this can fit in this wider discussion, but for sure the current detachment we are experiencing to financial information derives also from the myriads of other sources of information investors can get out there in the market. And if there is a way to slow down or change this current attachment, it's surely not going to be through PDF or paper, but it will have to be through digital reporting, which makes information more comparable and more accessible to users. So obviously we feel that it's dangerous. This current attachment is dangerous because there is no standardization of the information that investors and analysts access, and this information is not audited. So we think, obviously, we strive to increase, to get back financial information to the relevance, maybe not necessarily the relevance events it used to be in the past, but at least to regain a role in the investment decision process. Quickly going through the other question, I think one we can give some input on, and that's not been mentioned, it's on question 3A. Will technology allow investors to process an unlimited amount of information? We found this question interesting because I think professional investors are already processing an unlimited amount of information through data aggregators, for example. One thing that we feel digital technology will, and XBRL in particular, will allow is that a sort of democratization of the consumption of financial information, because also non-professional investors who are currently not using data aggregators will be able to use through much simpler software financial information on a large scale. So rather than bringing access, rather that the question is pertinent, but I think what XBRL in particular will be able to bring in digital report in general is this democratization and enlarge access to financial information. One final point on question four. So definitely we think that the use of structured data can contribute to effective investor disclosure. One element that might be relevant to mention is the fact that it will allow the digital reporting, structured data in general, will allow for contextualization of financial information, for example, by indicating clearly what standard each disclosure is referring to, which currently might be confusing for either because of the amount of disclosure being provided, but also because it's not clearly indicated in the notes, especially what kind of disclosure requirement each element is currently addressing. One last point on specific disclosure issues, which also relates to questions. I think they were on the last slide of this paper. Is specific disclosure issues relating to technology and digital reporting. We might consider it a risk, maybe, the fact that we will not necessarily be able to get the boundaries between financial information, so financial statements, and the rest of the annual reports will become blurred. And it might be useful to start to think of ways to clearly identify items that, for example, have been disclosure that have been audited, information that has been audited to those information that have not been audited. Because if a preparer tags and information outside financial statements, then a consumer risks not being able to identify that information that's been verified through the audit process and that which hasn't. Voila.
Okay, thank you. Any clarification questions?
No.
So we've got three more, and I think it's John, Susan, then Michael, and that's a voter, if I remember. So
I think the answers have been fantastic. I could labour all of these points, but the search thing, brilliant. Why can't I? If I search a PDF document, I get Control F. If I search an inline XBRL document, even on something as rudimentary as the existing GAP EDGAR system, I can search the standards, I can search a whole host of information. Soon I'll have synonyms, lots of other things. It's a different step. Those are great points. I just want to make two new points. One is, I'm not being facetious. Do you ask the age of the people answering your questions? There are some things we can't change in the world. We can't change the way and the speed with which technology is changing and integrating. It's truly on an accelerated slope. We can't change that. We also can't change demographics. The generation coming into the workforce is 100% digital. A huge chunk of the workforce today is 95% digital. Leadership was born a long time ago, and largely leadership are the people that are going to be answering your questions because it's self-selecting. So, hey, I like PDF, that's because I've always had PDF. You can have PDF straight out of a digital document if that's really what you want, or you can read it on the screen. It's just the same thing. But if you've got a digital document with all the work that you guys have done, not just in terms of the taxonomy, but in terms of standard setting, here we have these disclosures rooted back into the work that the status setters have prepared. That's extraordinarily valuable, and that's, to Anna's point, exactly what we need to encourage. And the smart money is already using this technology. Not just, we use a Bloomberg terminal. No, we use the XBRL data because I've got lots more information than there is just in the Bloomberg terminal. That's the reality. So let's think about that demographic aspect. The other point, also touched on by Anna, but I want to make a slightly different point, is that today we have a kind of a stasis, and different stakeholders,
all with grey hair, looking at each other, wondering who needs to move first.
Sorry, mate.
which is that the inline documents that are being provided into these new environments have a host of metadata associated with the machine-readable aspects of this information. And today there isn't an assurance or audit framework around that. There's two aspects to that. There's a policy question, which is for the audit standard setters, what do auditors need to put out there? What do the auditors themselves in their statements need to say? Does that need to be covered in the and does that need to be tied to the XREL document? That's a policy question. But there's a mechanical question as well, which is, has someone gone through and made sure that this thing that appears on the face of the inline document and it says revenue, 1 million, has that been tagged with revenue or has it been tagged with profit? Some mistakes that people can make, machines can help that process, but we need somebody, and maybe it's the accounting standard setters that want to raise that question to their colleagues in the audit standard profession, that we have an anomaly here that is creating different levels of investor protection for the same document. If I go and read the Delta Financial 10K off the Edgar site today, the human-readable version has been audited, and I've got some protections there. If I've consumed that as a machine, then arguably I don't have that. Well, I definitely don't have those protections at all. That's a stupid anomaly, and it's something like 1% alteration in the cost associated with that framework. Done. Thanks.
Do you want to answer the demographics question?
There are exceptions.
Sorry, I think it's Susan, then Michael, quickly. Okay. Only if it's net new, because we're on.
Yeah. So first, I'll commit a little heresy and say I'm not particularly troubled by PDF. Format doesn't bother me. The existence of printed financial statements doesn't bother me. There's a live use case for that. I think it's important to understand why people would want PDF. But I want to draw one slightly different angle distinction on the point that you were raising about how people are using this data today. And it's more in the form of a question. I don't have an answer. I just have more questions. And I think the question is, when we look at how a consumer wants to use that data, I think we need to draw a really sharp distinction between how they want to use qualitative information and how they want to use quantitative information, because I think those have significant modeling implications.
Yep.
I think they want different things from quantitative data than qualitative data. And if we conflate those, I think we might not be meeting their use case.
Thanks. And Michael?
Thomas.
I apologize.
I'm sorry.
I want to get a question in, and I realize that the time is tight, so if anybody wants to get me offline and help me, that would be great. But I want to get the question out. These four questions, when I look at the agenda, a lot of what you'll help us today with are things that we are working on as today's problems and that we're going to deal with over the next little while. In some sense, these are for our long-term task. These are the most important questions. So, that's why, if you have further, I'd be delighted to hear them. And I just want to put a tiny sketch of some of the stuff I was thinking about. So if you do come up to me, you can sort of provide some context in answering me. So one of the things, when I just have listened to not users and interested parties who are not technically expert, there is often, when they say, well, it's going to radically change, we get that back a lot, which is what it's technology, but it's not entirely clear to me what radical change they're talking about. So I want to put out just a couple of possibles that help me understand. And if we did a mind game, some people almost make it sound that users, and I really thought, I may refer back to, you all made useful comments, I may refer back to Dong's comments occasionally just because it corresponded more tightly. A lot of them pick up that the world will be unstructured and that people will kind of have models in mind, and actually users will have models in mind and they will actually take this unstructured data, put it into the structure they need to actually run the models and go so forth. And so I sort of, when I say if that's implicit, I ask myself, well, you know, do they actually, the users, if it's people, do they actually have that knowledge? And B, if they have that knowledge, do they actually have the knowledge to do it efficiently? That you could actually do all this in time to actually execute a trade. I'm actually quite skeptical that a human could do this, especially when, you know, we get into artificial intelligence and I guess when quantum computing hits and all that stuff. So I think that distinction is a really important one. That, you know, it's the machine versus, so what user? Is it the machine versus the person? Anybody wants to enlighten me on, like, who are we doing it for? And should we be doing it for both? I think that's going to help me a lot. And also the structured, unstructured, I'm going to need some help because if you do the mind game, and by the most unstructured thing I can think of is the company dumps all its entries online and the AI goes at it and uses a quantum computing and spews out stuff and does everything. I don't think any human's ever going to come close to that.
But that's structured.
What?
That's structured.
It's still structured, but I think somewhere, that's what I meant, is it has to get online somehow. To me, in my limited imagination, the most I can think of is every single entry. So you can help me with like that. And maybe it sucks other stuff. So I would need help with that. And so that whether we're building something, so if, when I think about that, there's two big problems. One is companies will see this as proprietary and will therefore limit their access. And so they're going to want some aggregation that will fight the proprietary. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I'd also like the thoughts about just to what degree then do even machines in the current age, for however long, need us to do some structuring. And I think it goes to some of the other. And then the other one I just wanted to pick up is the whole question of audit. Is it Maria? I can't see properly. Is that that person down there?
Mike.
No. Sorry, I just can't see far enough to pick up the names. You raised the question of audit. So, again, what do people audit? Is if I'm in my mind game with the entries, they actually don't audit every entry. All the blockchain will allow you to do something. It would never tell you if it was actually done right. It would just tell you you can trace it, I think. So how important in all this is audit? So I just wanted to throw out some questions for people and if you could share it with me because I would find it really helpful when we think about, because our task is to essentially do something with all those entries and put it into some reasonable form, whether it be machines or people. And I'm going to struggle a lot as a board member with this question as we go forward. So I just found a lot of the dimensions in particular Dom picked up, you know, structured, unstructured, granularity. So if you want to get me offline and just kind of elaborate, I would love to hear it. I just wanted to get that out there. Thank you.
Michael.
All right, so quick, the first one, I would like to bring the example of the Danish Business Authority, which uses basically machine learning algorithm to run through a number of the reports that they collect in, according to Danish GAAP and actually IFRS as well, both in Danish and in English. And they run a series of algorithms in order to, initially they investigated whether the accounting policy for land and buildings that was disclosed there was actually corresponding with the figure. So in other words, if the figure was reported, there should be an accounting policy. And the check could be very simple. Is there something reported under the tag disclosure for land and buildings? But they went further. They went to check the text of the disclosure and see whether the text actually reflects the disclosure itself. So in other words, they replaced a human who would read the disclosure and check whether this disclosure really applies to accounting policy for land and buildings. The same they did for property, plant, and equipment. And the result was actually coverage. For the first time in their history, they were able to run this on all reports received from, I think, 11,000 reports or so across their entire space that they supervised. So that's the type or the way how, in my opinion, the consumers will look at that. I would also like to go back quickly to your point. I think there is a... difference between looking at something from the interface. Humans right now look at the interface. They see, for instance, a page. Behind it, there might be very advanced technologies. They don't really interact with the technologies themselves. They do interact with the view from these technologies. The same way they will interact with inline XBRL published on the website, they will not know that behind this there is this mechanism looking at that. Similarly with artificial intelligence or machine learning, they will get the results, which is a response to a question, not really the entire algorithm that runs through this data behind. So I think that's a very important distinction. Second, I think there is a very minimal role for the PDF to stay, frankly speaking, and the reason for that, institutional investors are currently already using structured data through the Bloomberg terminals. They don't look at PDFs to manually extract the data, put in their Excels, and so on. These are typically either individual investors or very specified groups. So if we look at investors' analysts and we look at the CFA service, they will report that institutional investor doesn't care about PDF. They basically use the Bloomberg terminal or some data aggregator in order to obtain this data, which is already extracted from the PDFs by a horde of people over there working on their computers, typing typically, or running some algorithms to get the data into structured format. So that's pretty much the reality. The third one, will technology allow investors to allow to process an unlimited amount of information? That's pretty much already happening, and I fully agree with the earlier comments, so no comment further here. The last one, how can IFRS taxonomy and the use of structured data contribute? I think this goes also back to Tom's question. I think the most important thing is to look at this fragmentation of information. I think Anna mentioned that the users of financial reports as such, they are in let's say, there is a smaller and smaller group of that. They are decreasing. So we are looking at fragmented information that people want to get responses to their questions specifically. If we look at the IFRS taxonomy from this perspective, I think we've got groups or pieces of information that are not yet tied together. Even if I wanted right now to analyze an IFRS statement based on IFRS taxonomy and figure out whether the particular figure for land or properties, whatever, is tied to the accounting policy, it's not. It's just tied by the phrase name used for this tag and name used for this tag. So in my mind, I need to connect it, but the software is not yet able to actually link that together and show me the corresponding accounting policy. It's a very simple example, but this fragmentation is something that already happened in technology for tech geeks. That's my final comment. The XML, it was the previous standard for data structuring. Now it's more JSON, which is much more fragmented, and it's much, much more agile for the fintech environments. I think similar thing we may want to consider in financial reporting. So the big financial report was one way to look at the holistic, so to say, overview of the company performance. Pieces of information over social media, over different places over there, connected into one picture, they are pretty much the new way forward.
Thanks, Mike. We've got time for one more, and I'm going to take Nick, because you've already been up. If you could take yours offline.
Yeah, okay. Maybe
very quickly. So someone who was, until 9 months ago, an institutional investor, I would say it's very dangerous to express this in binary terms in terms of using the PDF or not using the PDF. Mm. In reality, it is mixed experience. People are using these two, the technology, and complementing that with use of the PDF at the same time. So they extract the data in the way you describe it, but they want to use the PDF actually alongside of that. To think about how they've reached an investment decision. So I don't think it's as binary as some of the discussion, not just you, but as we've described it.
But if that's a pixel-perfect HTML document, that looks like a PDF document.
It doesn't matter. That's semantics.
But if that's one document with the machine and the human readable version in it,
What he wanted to say is that's quite a dangerous idea to thinking about the binary. There are several jobs distribution in the institutional industry.
Yeah, I think even the investors can be divided into different types. So some investors invest in the stock market. So, for example, they want to establish a stock pool, so they need to do analysis on a lot of amount of data. So in that case, they need to use structured data, but For another example, PE, so they only need to look at financial reports for thousands of companies for 1 year. So for them to establish a system to do this kind of analysis, big data, is too costly. So they only need to use humans to do in-depth analysis of the reports.
Thanks. I think we got quite a bit. Your staff's approved. His response is nothing more from your end.
Can I just add one thing here? This has been missed in a lot of the discussion around PDF. Timing of the information is also really important, regardless of whether it's PDF or otherwise. So even though in the U.S. market all the public companies are filing using XBRL, one of the reasons, this is what I hear from our board members, one of the reasons they still hold on to some of the traditional ways of thinking about where information goes in the financial statements is because when they need it, which is earlier, we're talking about earnings releases, it's still not available in a structured format. So the point is timing is also a component to this, is a variable in when it becomes available. And that will have a direct bearing on how board members think about, when and how you want to make the information available in the geography of the financial statement.
Okay, thanks. We're ready to move on. Unless you've got any